It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Dane Mazzitani momentarily. St. Paul Pioneer Press. Oh, the Twin Cities is buzzing, Trent Condon. Not because of the White Sox Twins three-game set that begins tonight in Chicago.
Twins are red hot, though, seven in a row.
So are the White Sox. Don't look now with three
spots,
huh?
Uh-huh.
But that's not why they're buzzing. No. They're buzzing about the draft and obviously the T-Wolves. So we'll double dip with Dane Mazzitani on that. Then we will speak to Dave Sinekin. Covers the Packers for zonecoverage.com, also KFAN, where he hosts, when he's not doing his Packer previews, his Saturday morning show with Trent Tucker. So good time if you're a T-Wolves fan to be listening to the radio. Hello, Dane Mazzitani. Trent and Ken, thank you for coming on. How are you, Dane?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Before we get into the draft, and I loved what the Vikings did in a lot of areas, we'll pick your brain on those coming up here. But the T-Wolves in the story that I believe is being written, I'm at least certainly hoping that this wasn't the final good chapter before you kind of summarize everything as they bow out to the Nuggets, because I think it's going to be a series. I didn't see four straight. I did not see a sweep coming. What's behind this, Dane?
They're just really freaking good, and I think we all kind of have this fatalist kind of mentality up in Minnesota, and anyone who follows Minnesota sports, if you recall, 15 days ago at Game 82, no one saw four straight coming. Everyone said this is the worst possible matchup, but I think what we need to kind of realize is that it's like what Chris Finch said, like everything that is bad that happened to this franchise before anybody on the current team was there. Mm-hmm. All the craziness, all the butt of the jokes. Those teams didn't have Anthony Edwards. Those teams didn't have one of the best defensive teams in the league. And I think it's probably time to let yourself take a breath and say, wow, one of the best teams in the NBA is located in the Twin Cities. It's crazy to say. The city's going to go nuts. This weekend, I think with the Timberwolves being on the road, you got to kind of sense like how much it actually meant to the city and just kind of everybody here, because watching it kind of unfold from afar. The second round can't get here soon enough. They're so good, and I think they do have a chance to beat them.
It's been building and be a lot of fun here, and you're going to be helping out a little bit more now with the Timberwolves?
Yeah. The convenient part of having this job is you can just say, hey, I'll help. I'll go write a couple of stories.
Yes.
And you get in the building. So, I can't stay away.
That's you get a pretty good seat by getting in the building, too, let's be honest.
So. Yep.
Well, let's get into your normal beat, and that is, of course, the Minnesota Vikings. No surprise, after we've been talking to you for months and months, it ends up being J.J. McCarthy. Now, after a couple of days to kind of settle in, hear from J.J., seems like he's saying all the right things. Where are you with the selection, and how quickly he's going to be ready to go and become what they hope is a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I feel like heading into the draft, Drake May always felt like the grand slam home run. Mm-hmm. But any quarterback to me was going to be a home run, just because it's such a position of need right now. And when you think about the infrastructure in place for whoever that was going to be, coupled with Kevin O'Connell just being kind of the quarterback maker, I thought whoever they selected was going to feel like a good pick in my mind. Now, J.J. McCarthy being the selection, like you said, not all that surprising, considering they've been connected at the hip, it seems, for the last 2 months. Listening to him talk in the press conference, he screams franchise quarterback. He says all the right things. It's like he's been preparing for this. He actually said he started to edit his life when he was fifth grade, to be an NFL quarterback. So it shows you kind of the focus that he's always had.
Hmm.
I don't think we're going to see him anytime soon, though. Hmm. I guess he's going to have a chance to win the job out of training camp. And if he's so good that he can't be denied, then he'll be the week one starter. But I think in a perfect world, the Vikings feel this is too important of a player, too important of a moment for the franchise, to just run the risk of rushing him along, rushing his development, and saying, you got to be the starter week one because we took you 10th overall. There's a reason they took Sam Darnold, or they threw a bunch of money at Sam Darnold in free agency. I think they want to let J.J. McCarthy learn the ropes for a little bit, maybe a full season. I know people won't love that.
Yep.
But I think right now it's the plan is in place. This is everything that the team of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell kind of did, and every move they made led up to this moment. They have their quarterback now. They're not going to rush the rest of the process. So patience, I would say. I want to see him as soon as possible. It's exciting.
Yeah, and you're right. Apparently, killed a press conference, which was interrupted at some point. One of the Zoom was when Wayne Gretzky called him to congratulate him. I guess McCarthy's a really big hockey guy. So what about staying with McCarthy for just a second? I saw a piece yesterday with Harbaugh saying that this is where McCarthy had told Harbaugh that he wanted to end it up. He thought the best case scenario, this is JJ talking to his college coach, was that he would end up a Minnesota Viking. How about that?
Yeah, and it was funny. I mean, he said that personally, and then he also said in his intro Zoom, and then he said it again at the press conference the other day, every quarterback he talked to in this rookie class said they wanted to go to the Vikings. And when you think about it, like, it makes sense. You get to throw to JJ, you know, the other JJ. You get to be coached by Kevin O'Connell. The weight of the world is not going to be on your shoulders right away. But yeah, I think the fact that J.J. McCarthy wanted to be in Minnesota shouldn't be overstated, because he wants to be here. And that's not always the case with some of these young quarterbacks that come out. They have a vision for their life, and maybe it doesn't always jive with the team that selected them. But I think the fact that J.J., he seems all in, he seems like a guy that's really going to get along with Kevin O'Connell. And I think that relationship really started to build throughout the pre-draft process. So it makes sense that he would want to be here, and this was kind of choice number one for him. So I think everyone's kind of excited to get going, rookie minicamp. I think it'll be in a week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm just excited to watch him go swing the ball around, because it jumps out of his hand for sure. And then I think it'll be kind of just the start of something special here.
We know about J.J. McCarthy. We know Dallas Turner's got a chance to be an absolute stud out there.
Love that pick.
But then it took a while because they moved up to get Turner, and they moved up to get McCarthy. Out of that, the next group, who's the guy that you like the most, that you think's got a chance to not just be a good starter, but maybe can really pop here out of the remaining five guys? Let's even take the kicker out of it with Richard from Alabama, just because he's a kicker. There's only one spot there. Between Jackson, Rouse, Juergens, and Rodriguez, who do you like the most out of that group?
I feel like it's cheating because he's the fourth round pick instead of a sixth or seventh round pick. But I like Kyrie Jackson. 6'4", 195, probably gets up to about 205, 210 by the time he steps on the field. Just a giant at cornerback. And if you look at Brian Flores' history, he loves big cornerbacks that can play up press man coverage. And Kyrie Jackson seems to fit that mold, at least when you look at him in the flesh and on paper. Now, he needs to transfer those skills onto the field, but he has a defensive coordinator in Brian Flores that I think is going to maximize that potential. And just talking to Kyrie Jackson the other day, he has an amazing story. He quit football for 2 years out of high school. He was working at the local grocery store. He actually bragged that he was named Employee of the Month because of his work behind the deli counter.
Nice.
He was training to be a professional NBA 2K player. He was going to play video games professionally. And then his friends convinced him. They said, hey, you're still really good at football. Convinced him to go back to school. Two junior colleges, Alabama, obviously ends up at Oregon. Only 1 year of starting experience. And in that year, he was an all Pac-12 player. So he's an old rookie, but I think there is probably some potential there. And certainly a nice dart throw on day three of the draft.
Has the fan base, last thing for you, Dane, has the fan base come around on Adofo-Mensah, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the general manager? I mean, there was a lot of people up in arms that he traded within the division his first year. You don't do that, blah, blah, blah. Has the fan base, has he won them over?
I think so. And, I mean, there's always going to be the critics that say, I know you had a good first round, but man, you traded a lot of picks for next year's draft. And those people, as far as I'm concerned, they just want to poke holes. If you don't like Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, just say it. I think if you look at the rational fans and just the ones who have kind of been hard on him, but also are willing to give him a chance, the draft couldn't have gone much better. You got J.J. McCarthy, a potential quarterback of the future, and you got Dallas Turner, who a lot of people thought was the best defensive player in the class. Mm-hmm. Sure, it cost you a lot to go up and do it, but at the end of the day, you got two guys, and I think the thought was maybe you were just going to get one, and not to mention two guys that could be pillars on both sides of the ball for years to come. I think he's slowly winning back fans. I'm inclined to kind of trust this process now, watching what they were able to do over the last 3 days, too. So give him some time. I know people are always going to point to the 2022 draft, the Lewis Cine pick, could have had Kyle Hamilton. I get it. But bad drafts happen sometimes. The draft is a crapshoot. If we're going to judge every GM on their worst draft, then there would be no GMs in the league. So John Lynch with the San Francisco 49ers, regarded as one of the best GMs in the league, traded a million first-round picks for Trey Lance. So if we're going to judge every single GM on their worst move, then you're going to hate everyone. So I'm good with Kwesi. I think he's done a good job. I think he's done a good job sticking to the process. And let's let the string play out. They got two really good players in the first round and a handful of dart throws on day three.
Dane Mazzitani, St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Dane, we'll impose on you when you're covering those T-Wolves as they advance on. Thank you, Dane, for what you do for us here in Des Moines. Appreciate it. We'll talk down the road. Thank you, Dane.
Of course, anytime, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Good to talk to you. Dane Mazzitani, St. Paul Pioneer Press. Dave Sinekin, I was going to say we head back to the Twin Cities. He's actually on his way back from Bloomington.
Oh, okay.
University, his alma mater.
Yes.
Daughter coming home and got a son here at Iowa State. And he's on the road and he joins us to talk about those Packers. And I loved this Packers draft. I could have written your piece today at zonecoverage.com if you were busy. I really could have, because you and I are on the same page on so many of these picks. Good to talk to you, Dave Sinekin. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Yeah, change of plans. We left early, so I'm actually back in the Twin Cities.
Ah, good.
We hit the road early, so yeah. Great to be back and great to spend some time digesting what the Packers did over the weekend. And, they obviously filled a lot of needs and made some picks and grabbed a couple guys that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, and those couple of guys, look, they needed an offensive lineman. They didn't get the one that you had mocked there. He went to Cincinnati early, I think the 18th pick overall. But it's their second-round picks, Dave, that have me, as a fan of that division, as excited as anybody. They filled some monumental needs there. I think they got a lot better, and in particular on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, the big question mark and the mystery heading into this next Packers season is, what does Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator, do with this defense? And he has pledged to bring in an attacking style of defense, very aggressive, which is music to Packers fans' ears. And he's got a lot of former first-round picks to work with, but there were a couple holes. And while Packer fans typically sit through a first round with lots of exciting names and never go to Green Bay, they do tend to get paid on day two. And the second-round history of Ted Thompson and Goody are well-documented with the starters and the all-pros they have found on Friday night. And the two holes heading into this season for Green Bay is, who do you pair next to Quay Walker in the middle of that defense?
Yep.
And what do you do at safety next to Xavier McKinney? And by adding Edgerrin Cooper from A&M to pair with Quay and to find Javon Bullard, the former MVP of the championship game a year ago in Georgia, to play in the secondary, I just think adds so much punch, so much athleticism and speed to a Packers defense. And kept been playing catch-up to some of the other athletic defenses, particularly in the NFC. I always look with envy at San Francisco and Tampa Bay and those two gifted inside linebackers that can go sideline to sideline. I think Green Bay finally has that. And as I wrote in my blog, when Louis Riddick on ESPN said,
yeah,
Green Bay just got the best, the new great linebacking star in the NFL. I mean, that's a lot to live up to, but it shows the potential and the talent that the Gutekunst and his staff identified on Friday to, I think, really give Jeff Hafley some more pieces to make this defense potentially really scary down the road.
88th pick, they went running back Marshawn Lloyd, a guy that Play the two USC, South Carolina, and then Southern Cal to finish up his career before making his way there. They bring in Josh Jacobs. A.J. Dillon still on the roster. Is it him fighting with Dillon for that backup role? Is that the most likely scenario?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there is a scenario where Dillon is a cap casualty if Lloyd really shows well in the preseason. I mean, they signed Dillon for basically the veteran minimum. You know what he is, you know, and he's dependable. But if Lloyd can give you that boost and that juice with the speed he has, the ability to break tackles, he's shown an ability to catch balls. He wants to do more of that. I just think there's a chance, certainly in 2025, there's a chance that he's the starting running back in Green Bay. I mean, Jacobs was set up to be maybe a two-year, three-year starter, but it's not out of the realm that Lloyd could be the number one guy as quickly as 2025 or 26. So another position that you figured the Packers would address early. They saw what happened when Aaron Jones came back on the field from the injuries late in the season, what that did for Love in the offense. You know, if you're one injury away from Josh Jacobs to having A.J. Dillon, you just don't have that juice. So Lloyd gives them a chance to have that home run hitter and a guy that might be the starter here for quite a while.
I do want to pick your brain on the T-Wolves. You and Trent Tucker talk a lot of NBA and a lot of T-Wolves on Saturday morning. You're in the Zone Show on KFN, so pick your brain on that. But my draft question for you, Dave, is just the division overall. What did you, as you're watching it unfold, were you impressed with any of the other three NFC North teams in particular? Did you think one of the air-quote rivals had a good weekend?
Well, I mean, where the four teams are sitting right now, for Green Bay, Detroit's the biggest rival, and I just love what they did in this draft. I mean, they did what I wanted Green Bay to do, and that's find a great cornerback, go up and get him in the first round. And I really thought the way the defensive stars were falling that Green Bay might just do that, move up five or six spots and grab Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, the top two perceived corners. Detroit did that, and then they doubled down with Enix Rakestraw, another guy I thought Green Bay might look at. I really thought Gutekunst might address the outside corner spot. He didn't do it until his very last pick. So the fact that Detroit got really good at a position of weakness scares me just a little bit for how that defense might improve. And I think from top to bottom, Detroit did a nice job. You know, the other two teams obviously drafted their quarterbacks of the future. And so how quickly that future unfolds and whether those guys are the guys people dream they could be remains to be seen. But obviously the optimism in Chicago and the Twin Cities is now off the charts. It makes this division as intriguing as any when you have two rookies and two playoff teams that expect to go deep. I think the North is set up to be really fun. I mean, I've been living up here for almost 30 years. I live in a perennial purple haze, and I'm telling you right now, it's as thick as it's ever been. They are so excited about J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner and what the Vikings might be, but it's kind of like, you know, shampoo, rinse, repeat for us Packer fans.
Yeah.
We've heard it many times before, but it is fun when they're excited.
Yeah, no doubt. I've heard a lot of folks that truly believe that the NFC North is about to become what the AFC North is when you've got all those heavy heads at the top, and obviously that's down the road a couple of years, as you've mentioned.
Well, Dave, we'd be remiss if we let you go without talking about the Timberwolves, the first team to advance in the NBA playoffs for the first time in 20 years. They moved on to the second round. This team likely is going to face Denver. We saw it a year ago. It was 4-1 Denver. Timberwolves played well in that series, but they were not ready. Are they ready this year? Are they ready to unseat the champion Nuggets?
I think they have a really good chance, and I would argue that they've actually might have been close to ready last year. Remember, after they lost 4-1, a number of players on that Denver team after the playoffs said, the Timberwolves gave us the toughest out. Yeah. I mean, they were the toughest team for us, and they were without Jaden McDaniels that entire series, and Naz Reid. Both those guys missed that entire series. So two key rotational players missed. I'm not saying they would have beaten the Nuggets, but I think that series might have gone deeper. They just match up well with Denver. They beat them, I think, 3 out of 4 this year. They just seem to match up really well. Defensively, Jaden McDaniels is a big 6'10 guy that can get in front of a much smaller Jamal Murray and make things difficult. Trent Tucker always says when these teams play, Aaron Gordon's always the key. If he has a big series, it's tough to stop them. But, yeah, the way the Timberwolves are constructed, the what they're playing with right now, the confidence they're playing with, obviously Ant's ascension, the defense that travels. I don't know that they'll get past Denver, but I'd be really surprised if it doesn't go the distance. It's just a shame for us up here that the way the tiebreaker worked out that Denver got the home court advantage, because if the Wolves had it, I'd be right here declaring a Wolves upset. But I won't be surprised if they beat them. But I do think they're going to make things really, really difficult.
Unbelievable. It's going to be fun to watch unfold. When will that start, Dave? Any idea as to when that series will start?
Yeah, my understanding is if Denver beats the Lakers tonight, it starts on Saturday.
Okay.
And if L.A. happens to win to extend it, it'll start next week from tonight, next Monday.
Good stuff. Dave Sinekin, zonecoverage.com, and a longtime Packer preview, year 28 coming up for Packer preview once we get back to the NFL. And, of course, Saturday mornings in the Zone with Trent Tucker, KFAN up at the Twin Cities or on the iHeart app. Dave, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. We'll talk down the road, buddy.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Dave Sinekin, as we check in on the Packers and check three of our four regional teams off. All right, we'll take time out, talk some Iowa State, shall we? Alec Bussey is waiting in the wings. He'll join us next. Before, however, we do go to that, we've got another opportunity for somebody to win some bonus bucks. Check, check at KXNO.com. Check at KXNO.com. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent's Plays of the Day coming up in about 15 minutes or thereabouts. Circus Sports sponsor those. We'll turn things over to Murph and Andy. They've got bonus bucks opportunities, as do Heather and Sean, coming up from 3 until 6. Let's talk some Cyclones, shall we? Alec Bussey, CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 Sports. Hello, Alec Bussey. How are you?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Enjoyed a little bit of a weekend away from work for the first time.
Nice.
Starting on the Iowa State beat, I think. So it's good to get back and be on my couch working this afternoon.
Be on your couch working this afternoon. Can't beat that. Well, a lot of ground to cover with you. I do want to, I guess let's start with the news. We'll get to TJ Tampa and the free agent that I think's got a chance to make, and that's Ben Nickel, based on his speed alone and the fact that he had such a great combine. But the trip to Dublin, it obviously became official late last week. What were your message boards like? What's the buzz like, you know, it's Cyclone Alert regarding this trip? Does it seem to you like there will be a lot of Cyclone fans that frequent your board trying to make their way over to watch the K-State Iowa State tangle in 2025?
Yeah, there seemed like there was a good number of fans who said that they would like to try and go over. They were already kind of making plans to see how it would go through. I know one or two posters asked about ticket information being available, so different things like that. There's definitely an immediate baseline interest from Iowa State fans about going over to Ireland and watching their team play a rivalry game. I think it'll be a good opportunity for them to, you know, travel across the country, or I guess I should say travel across the world, and see one of their favorite teams play, and a pretty unique opportunity for sure.
Going to be incredible, and the build-up leading into that, a summer, as we're always starved for football, and that to kick things off, going to be a lot of fun here. Still got another year, though, in front of that. Should be a pretty good one. Let's take a look back, though. TJ Tampa, here's his name called in the fourth round, 130th pick overall. Lasted longer than I think a lot of people anticipated, and not just inside the borders of the state of Iowa. A lot of people had TJ Tampa much higher than that. What led to the slide in your mind? What have you heard?
Yeah, I haven't talked to too many people about what led to him falling. I think not testing at the combine potentially could have hurt him, but I believe he did test down at that Big 12 Pro Day in Frisco, Texas, earlier this spring. So he's still able to get some of those numbers out there. But I think just, you know, only having one of those sets of numbers maybe hurt him a little bit. I think that that's maybe one thing. And then, you know, I think just you didn't see a lot of DBs go very early. I don't think this was a super deep defensive back draft. And as you saw, some guys in the first round fall at that same position. Obviously, Cooper DeJean, to keep it in state, fell to the second round. Someone that some people had going in the first round. And even Quinion Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo, fell to the Eagles in the first round as well. I think as you saw some defensive backs fall, it's just with a trend that kind of seemed to continue throughout the middle and maybe even to the late rounds as well.
Yeah, I think that certainly played a role, no doubt about it. So I love where Tampa ended up. Look, he's going to Baltimore. If they're not the favorite in the AFC, they're the second choice, I would assume, right behind Kansas City, Trent, fair to say. Going to potentially make a long run in the playoffs. He's going to see the field. And he's in a great spot with a team that, it's not like he was drafted early in the round, which means he's going to a team that blows. He's going to a team that's got a chance to be make an impact right off the bat. I think it's a good spot. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it is too. I'm certainly not an expert when it comes to, the Ravens and their personnel. But obviously, they've had a really good run of success in my entire life. I mean, I'm 24 years old and I can't ever remember the Ravens being bad.
Yeah, right.
So I think that certainly is a good fit for him. No one wants to go to a bad team. Like you said, he'll be on a team that should be pretty good for a while as long as Harbaugh continues to be the head coach there. They've made their bones defensively for the longest time. I know Lamar Jackson has won a couple MVPs there, but I think a lot of people think of the Ravens. They think defense. They think Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Charles Suggs, guys like that of the last, decade. But now they've kind of transitioned a little bit more with, those guys retiring and they've got a new set of faces. And I think Kyle Hamilton's the safety from Notre Dame in place for that.
Yep.
And a few other guys. But it's certainly a group that has had a lot of success, and I think TJ will fit into that as an impactful corner, whether he's starting day one or he's playing a rotational role in certain snaps. Remains to be seen, but he'll have an opportunity to prove a lot of the people who passed on him wrong, which I think is something that he'll relish in.
I didn't know much about Ben Nickel until this last year. And then when I would watch Iowa State, you kept noticing his hair coming out of the back of his helmet. Then I started, who is this kid? Where did he come from? And how's he seeing the field, both in special teams and then when he got his chance to play? He's quite a remarkable story. Goes to the combine it was in Texas. I'm not sure whereabouts in Texas. The Big 12 combine that was put together and runs exceptionally well. We knew that we had a pretty good idea that he would because he's very fast. I think he's got a chance to make this Commanders team. Probably special teams in the beginning, but that's how we got noticed at Iowa State. Ben Nickel and the chances that he sticks around an NFL roster.
Yeah, I think that I agree. I think special teams is certainly an area you could see him sticking. So often in the NFL you're able to roster 53 guys and you don't want any of your first or second string offensive players or defensive players out there potentially getting hurt because of how valuable those roster spots are. So if you find an impactful guy on special teams, whether that's a gunner, or kick return, or whatever it may be, they become pretty valuable. And you can stay in the league for a really long time. And I think that Ben Nickel could potentially carve out a role because of his speed. Obviously playing defensive back shows he's willing to be physical and make tackles. I think he certainly could carve out a role in the NFL. And, if it's not with the Commanders, practice squad guys move around sometimes.
That's true.
You can make a pretty decent living being on a practice squad for a couple of years and just trying to get onto a 53-man roster. And if you're able to impress one team enough, maybe that opportunity becomes more likely for them.
Portal comes to a close tomorrow, at least people that can enter. Now they can end up wherever they want still with the unlimited transfer rule that is in place. But do you anticipate any more Cyclones entering the portal before it closes to tomorrow? And what are they still looking for, at least position group-wise? What are they still shopping for in the portal football-wise?
Yeah, you could see potentially one or two more guys enter. I think if you continue to see more people enter, it would be guys at the bottom of the depth chart who maybe don't have the clearest path to playing time. That's largely what you've seen to this point with a lot of the departures. As you continue to look for potential additions, corner continues to be an area that I have circled as a potential need for Iowa State. They've obviously hosted Indiana State transfer Jonathan Edwards, for a visit. He'll be on campus, I think, at Houston early this week and then try and make a decision. Lots of Group of Five programs are also interested in him. If they get him, I wouldn't be surprised if they're done at corner. They've offered a receiver from Iowa, Jacob Bostic. He's dealt with injuries in his Hawkeye career, but, Iowa State doesn't have a huge need at receiver for 2024, but they might in the future with the chances that they lose Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll after this year. And, I think that you want to kind of plan a little bit for the future there, a receiver if possible. But defensive back, to me, is the one position where I think Iowa State is looking to make an addition. And They're pushing hard for Jonathan Edwards, who has a good relationship with Deion Broomfield.
Well, that certainly can't hurt. TJ is done, apparently, correct? The men's basketball, they have finished the roster set?
They have 13 scholarships filled. I won't say it's set or fully completed until the portal closes, just in case someone surprisingly enters the transfer portal. But yeah, as of right now, they have a full 13 for the 24-25 season. After Joshua Jefferson's commitment, St. Mary's transfer last week, and then Caden Fish announced his return or is withdrawing from the transfer portal.
Just to put a bow on this conversation, back to looking ahead to next year, what's Campbell's roster look like as far as potential guys that I'm not sure there's a first rounder on the roster right now, but we'll see. Is there a name or two that jump out to you? Maybe secondary. Cooper's got some buzz over his career. Miles Purchase, maybe. Who are you looking forward to 2025 with draft? Have you taken a look at that yet?
Yeah, we're actually going to publish something this evening about that. Or Payne's going to post something on that. Jeremiah Cooper certainly comes to mind immediately. Someone who's had success at defensive backs, specifically safety. I think you could potentially see some of the linebackers or defensive linemen potentially get in that conversation.
Okay, yep.
Tyler Onyedum would be in that group. I think Don Orange is someone who could be in that group as well.
Frailer? Bo Frailer, maybe? Yep.
Potentially as a special teamer, I could see it there. I don't know if he's quick enough to potentially play free safety in the NFL, but special teams, he can maybe carve out a role. Kennard Snyder is someone that they're really high on. I want to see it on the field, but he would be draft eligible if he has a really good season for Iowa State. Offensively, I think you're probably looking more at the receiver position again. Jalen Noll could definitely get there. He was a speedy slot guy, good route runner. I don't know where I feel like Jaden Higgins could factor in, but maybe with another good year, he gets into that conversation as well. So there you're looking at a couple guys with a skill position who could potentially carve out an NFL prospect positioning, I guess, with the starting 2024 season.
And Brommer's a year away from being eligible, right? This will only be year number two for him. So, yeah, one more year.
Yep.
Fascinating stuff. Good stuff. Thank you, Alec Bussey. We'll look forward to that piece. Anything else you'd like to promote before we let you go?
Yeah, working on a film room right now of Joshua Jefferson, who, like I said, committed from St. Mary's. You want to check that out to get a good understanding of the type of impact he'll make at Iowa State next season. And then we'll also start to do some UIBL recap stuff from this past weekend. They were out in Memphis, so we'll recap how some of Iowa State's basketball targets have played to start the AAU season.
Good stuff. We will talk to you in a week, and we'll read that at cyclonealert.com. Thank you, Alec Bussey. Have a wonderful week. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Yep, you do the same. Alec Bussey, 24/7 sportscyclonealert.com as we check in on Iowa State. Higgins reminds me so much of Xavier Hutchinson's career.
Ah, yes.
Right?
And then a big standout.
Yep, yeah. And a big step forward. He caught 108 balls, 106 balls his final season. Mm-hmm. I think Higgins is going to mirror that. We shall see. I'm with him on Jalen Noll. That's a good one. Yeah, Frailer might be a step slow, right?
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper, though, if he's healthy.
I think Cooper's got a chance.
Early.
Yep. Yep. Not first round.
Top 60.
Knows? Okay.
70. Yeah. I think that's the kind of range.
A Friday pick?
Yes. A Friday pick.
We'll pick Trent's brain on who he's going to pick.
Hmm.
His pick. Oh, you're still working on it?
We have some work here. I've been befuddled at times. Some of these series, both NBA and NHL, just have not played. The zigzag theory has not worked out very well. Liked a lot of teams in some game threes. I don't think any of them came up. So we're back to the drawing board, but the Twins became an annuity. That was nice.
Yeah, they're on a roll. On a roll.
And they get another bad team, though a hot team in the White Sox.
A hot team in the Chicago White Sox who if they have an ace, Crochet is it.
Yes.
And he pitches tonight. It's 12:45, Trent's Plays of the Day. Circus Sports sponsor, they're next. Miller & Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Trent's Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, Miller & Condon, welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent's Plays of the Day, Circus Sports sponsor. Before we get into those, CBS's NFL pregame show, is theirs NFL Today?
Yes.
Phil Simms is out. Boomer Esiason is out.
Mm.
Matt Ryan is in. J.J. Watt stays. Nate Burleson stays.
Yeah, like him.
I do too. James Brown stays. I've never been a big James Brown fan.
Yeah, weird move from Fox over there.
Right, right, right. And he sticks around.
I like Menifee more.
Okay. Yeah, if you had to pick one, kind of lesser two evils, I guess I like Menifee more. But yeah, but Phil Simms might be done as far as NFL. I had a long, I mean, but between playing and then, didn't he do that show on Showtime?
He did, absolutely. Yes.
And then doing this, of course, he was with Jim Nantz for a long time before Tony Romo took over. And I'm not sure how much longer he's got left. The shine seems to be off Tony Romo, doesn't it?
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, I was not as enamored as a lot of people were on that initial.
Yeah, right from the jump, you were. It's true.
No.
I was all in.
All right, Jim. Big play here, Jim.
Yeah, but you're right. Everything.
It's the eighth play of the game.
It's kind of like Gus Johnson for me.
Yeah. You were
over the top.
See, and I still enjoy Gus.
Yeah. But those two were out. All right, Trent.
Matt Ryan. Perfect for CBS. They like to, they have a certain niche, don't they?
Yeah.
They don't color outside the lines.
No. Bill Cowher's staying as well. Bill Cowher stays.
Very boring.
Yeah. If I could only watch one, or if I would watch one, because I don't watch him very often, I like Randy Moss.
I do too.
I like listening. I think Randy Moss does a good job, and him and Rex Ryan, and Sam Ponder, that's pretty good. But we got a ways before we see those, sadly, shows again. But the CBS stuff made some news today, so that's why we're there. But let's make some news regarding your picks.
All right.
And picks at winners. Are you playing baseball tonight?
Yes. I'm playing hockey, playing NBA.
So you're basically touching all bases.
We're very full card here. We got eight plays overall. Let's start Major League Baseball. Let's start with the Tigers. Kenta Maeda, look at the overall numbers, not very good. He's been very good lately. Against Steven Matz, and I'm just not a Steven Matz fan. Mm-hmm. Only have to lay -108 with the Tigers.
Cardinals bullpen has been pretty good, though.
It has been. Mm-hmm. Hensley's still firing it up there. Man, he's fun to watch when he comes in. As long as he's not leaving in the middle of the plate. Give me the Cubs +138 against the Mets. Good pitching matchup. Tyon's been excellent since he's come back. Severino's been very good all season long.
Did you see the Pete Crow Armstrong catch last night in the ninth inning? Oh, my God. Can he cover some ground or what?
And is he swinging the bat?
It looks like it. That was a big home run the other day. Big home run the other day.
If he can swing it,
he'll stick.
He's going to stick.
Yep.
Cubs +138, though, in that matchup. That seems like a big price.
That does, yeah.
I will grab that.
Mets had a good April.
They did. Mm-hmm. After an 0-5 start.
Yep.
Yeah, big
finish well.
Give me the Twins -155. Never bet against the streak. Seven in a row for my Twinkies. Phillies against the Angels. The Phillies with Sanchez on the mound are only -142. That felt like one that I had like more in the -170 range. Okay, I don't like laying prices, but at that kind of price, I think I have to do it. And same thing with the Dodgers, -123 against the Diamondbacks as Paxton will get the ball for the Dodgers tonight. So those are the baseball plays. Let's go over to the hockey. One play there. Give me plus money with the Golden Knights. At home?
Mm-hmm.
+111, yes.
Dallas trying to even the series.
Not going to happen. They're going to be down 3-1 after
tonight. Oh, okay. I love the confidence.
Golden Knights +111. Gentlemen's handshake. The Pelicans get a win. We're going to play them +5.
Boy, did you hear how Barkley ripped them the other day? Whew.
I think we get a gentleman's handshake win here, and we go to a game 5 in that one against OKC. And the Lakers will lose, but not by more than 7. Lakers in the points.
Tight game, Denver prevails.
How many times have we seen that over the last 2 seasons? A whole bunch, and it will happen one final time in this series. Nuggets win, Lakers cover.
And the Nuggets and the T-Wolves take center stage.
That's going to be a series.
Saturday if it ends tonight, according to Dave Sinekin. Monday if it continues on. We are through. Murph and Andy are next. And then The Drive with Heather and Sean from 3 until 6. Every day starts anew with the Morning Rush at 6. We are Miller and Condon. You can hear Trent and I from 11 to 1 on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.